It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why we have to call my mom right now.
Well, let's do it.
This is cinema verite, people, or audio verite or whatever. It is my mother's birthday. I have not communicated with her today, and we are calling her right now, and she's not expecting this. She totally might not be home. It's still early there, so.
Early.
Well, comparative. It's not dinner time yet.
Three hours.
Hello.
Hello, it's your favorite child, but I have to warn you that you're being recorded, so don't say anything bad.
Okay.
Can I speak to the birthday girl?
Yes, we just got ourselves back home here a couple hours ago. Had a kind of nice sort of before and after dinner thing with the Vegas, and then went out to a restaurant of Atlanta's choice and looked over that that old quarry that's now the lake in Kaiser, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
And
Dad, just so you know, I was serious about you being recorded. We're doing the podcast. I'm wishing Mom a happy birthday live, so.
Okay.
Not that you can say whatever you want. Just be aware that the internet's going to hear it.
This is your youngest son recording a podcast of wishing his mother happy birthday, so you're being recorded.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, this is the little old lady.
Happy birthday!
Well, thank you. It has really been quite amazing.
I heard. It sounds like you went to a really cool new place.
Well, we did. And when you come out to visit, maybe, well, if we can make our way through the crowds from the eclipse, we can give it a try.
Yeah.
But, yes, we had a very, very, very nice day. It's quite an experience. Having the cancer, but not, I don't feel as bad as a lot of people do, and I just feel so lucky. I mean, people are really quite wonderful, and learned a lot of stuff about myself.
we've been very grateful for that too. I talked with Pam about it some last weekend. We were in Chillicothe.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, and so I told her, I was like, this just sounds weird, but and Mom's got a milder one than some, but I think the technology's even better than when you had it.
Well, I think so, too, and you know something else, Tony, is my cancer is a lot milder.
Yeah, which...
She did lose her hair, she did have a lot of the other stuff, but the technique is better. She had the same really bad drug that I'm having, but I have it by pump every two days.
You have the one she used to call the Red Devil.
Yeah,
but you have
exactly.
It in the pump. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it makes a huge difference because it's awful, but if you have it over 2 days, obviously your body's got a little better shot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can't stay and talk because, like I said, we are literally doing the podcast. I'm going to call you this weekend. But I didn't want to miss the actual day, so I wanted to make sure.
Well, thank you very much, and do say hello to William.
Well, he's right here. You can say hello.
Hello. Hello, Miss.
Hi, William.
Hello, Mrs. Parsons. How are you?
Keep it near the mic.
It's really quite splendid. For somebody who has cancer, I think I must be one of the luckiest people in the world.
Well, Tony's lucky to have you. That's all I can say. He only ever says nice things about you guys.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. What happened there?
Well, it's being broadcast publicly, so I got to keep...
Oh, you know, yeah, something's quiet. That. Yeah, there's lawsuits, things like that.
Yeah.
He's got to think about these things.
Well, you really do.
I'm saving it for the tell-all.
Has he given you his book to read?
He says it's not quite there yet.
Getting much closer. I want to talk about that, actually, on this episode.
But I can't wait to read it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
And you're a writer yourself, I know that.
Yes. I probably not nearly as good as he is, but hopefully I'll still be able to help him out with figuring out little problems that it might have in first drafts, because there's always little problems in the first draft.
Oh, my heavens. I can't even imagine that you guys are able to do that.
I tell
Tony, however the book does, I can't even imagine doing that.
Well, it's challenging, I'm not going to lie. Or at least it was for me. I don't know if there's anyone out there who for whom it isn't challenging. Usually you hear all writers talk about how rewrites and submitting your stuff to other people to read, it's all very stressful. But somehow you just...
I find it incredibly easy, because I haven't done it yet.
Your son is so modest.
Well, he really is. He really is.
Well, I wish you a happy birthday, Mrs. Parsons.
Well, thank you very much. It's 74. Now I start telling people I'm 75 because I'm actually working on the 75th year.
That's exactly right. See, that's what I tell people. That's what I tell people. But it was a pleasure.
Exactly.
It was a pleasure to get to talk to you.
Thank you.
I love you, Mom. I'll talk to you this weekend.
I love you too, baby. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Holy crap, your mom has an amazing voice. She should do radio and stuff. Has she ever done radio?
Not to my knowledge, she has now.
That's amazing. I could listen to her talk all day.
I have. So, I just want a disclaimer out there, because listening to it, knowing it's being recorded, somehow gives me a perspective. And it sounds like some of the things my mother said, or ways she talked, or things that may have sounded like published speeches, are things either she prepped beforehand, or things that she did because she knew she was on the air. Let me assure you 100%, other than the William part, because he's here, that absolutely could have just been a private conversation between me and Mama. That's how she talks.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Not only does she have a great vocal quality, but she's very well-spoken and articulate and everything
immediately
else.
Immediately waxing philosophical about cancer.
That is
absolutely my mother, so you guys just got a glimpse into what it's like to just talk to my mom.
Wow, she's a really neat person. Cool. For the brief amount of time I got to talk to her, I really enjoyed that.
So, hello, everyone. God, I am going to be so curious as a reaction to that. We've never done something like this. We've answered the phone when it was a telemarketer. And we've talked to delivery people sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But nah, this is a whole new level. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world, Authentic Irish Setter. That may be the last we hear of that. You'll have to find out. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 318.
And it is my mother's birthday, which means I neglected to wish my niece a happy birthday on the last podcast.
Oh, because it was her birthday a week previous,
she's
huh?
Exactly a week before.
Ah, oh, wow.
And, yeah, I'm just not as used to that one. I've missed it a couple times recently. But she's also a teenager, so she doesn't give a damn.
So your mom seems to be doing okay. I mean, is the prognosis good, or...?
I haven't gotten a recent update on the kidney stuff.
Okay.
Prognosis is pretty great on the other one. Because it is really mild, and she's just doing this long, drawn-out chemo thing, so... And yeah, she mentioned the eclipse. We are going to visit them this year in August, because there happens to be... there's a big eclipse happening around August 22nd.
Okay.
It's one of those comes around every 400 years or something. Oh, I don't remember if it's lunar or something. I'm not as into it as Trisha, but it passes right over the Oregon coast.
Oh.
So, we've already booked a room and stuff for that, and already experienced people price gouging like you would not believe.
Wow.
But luckily only a few of those. But yeah, so we'll be going out during the week when that's happening. So it's probably going to be pretty crowded.
Your dad sounds really nice, too.
Dad's a nice guy.
Like a nice guy.
And that, again, exactly how it would go. And that's why I double-checked, because I'm like, maybe he thought I was kidding. Because I don't know if he wants... I mean, it's fine for him to tell people the restaurant thing, but then, that's just how it would have been normally. It's weird, because I'm listening to it in a recording sense, I suddenly realize how similar this sounds to other... Like, they're on TV shows and stuff, like Pete Holmes, you'll hear like a phone message from somebody's parent or something. Mm-hmm. My parents really sound like parents, like the platonic sort of thing. They sound an awful like the other ones. For some reason, I noticed this time. For those of you just joining us, none of that was normal, and yet in the same way was super normal for us.
In a way.
In that we do whatever. Here's how the thing works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its assurance servants, draw the cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the show. And also whatever else we feel like doing, like calling my mom.
Yep.
Who's 74, holy shit.
Yeah, how old's my dad? He would be 73 this year, in May. I'll turn 73. So you're about the same age.
Meanwhile, Charlie Murphy died at 57 this week.
Who's that?
He's Eddie Murphy's brother.
Oh.
Sadly, that's the first way you mention it. But he's quite a stand-up and an actor in his own right.
Oh, okay.
He's really good. I think he came to most prominent fame because he was on Dave Chappelle's show.
Hmm.
And he used to do these things where he would tell stories about meeting celebrities with his brother. And then Dave Chappelle would act out whatever celebrity it was. They'd do these sort of sketches of it. And that's where you got, "I'm Rick James, bitch," which was a very popular catchphrase that came out of that.
Okay.
Ezzy is crawling her way into a big pile of boxes, so if you hear a weird rustling in the background, that's what that is. But who knows if you will. Don Rickles died before.
You mentioned that last time, yeah.
I feel like somebody else.
It does seem like...
I mean, some people did. I saw them, but they aren't people that would be things to mention here, per se.
Yeah, it seems like since we talked, there was something that happened.
Some other actor that I'm forgetting. Anyway, how is your week? Apologize to whoever
Not as eventful as it should have been. My youngest brother's birthday was the 9th.
So, yes, and we didn't know what the plans were.
Yeah, exactly. And also, if we weren't going to go, then gaming was the night. The thing that we usually do every...
Monthly.
Yeah, the monthly thing we do.
We talked to my mom and my dad on the podcast. She's doing good. Oh, my God. She was just herself. It was beautiful. So was Dad. And then William and her talked.
Yeah.
And I apologized to everybody and warned that it might be a 3-hour show.
Right.
But now I think he's got a crush on my mom.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to have a... They got a thing that's going on.
All right. But
both know it's wrong. But then...
Okay. Jeez. Anyway,
To let it go now.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
So there should have been something going on this weekend. Either we went home, down to the farm, or we went gaming, and we didn't do either of those things because in all of the confusion of what was going
to
happen and last minute
commit to
and then nothing happened. Well, except we played a lot of Mass Effect, which is fine, but not really much to say about that. Not really a lot to report, but I got some work done on my projects and stuff and all that, but that's boring to talk about. What about you? Are you going to talk about... wanted me to remind you to call your mom.
That's, and I was just
forget
like,
that.
You know what? We'll just do it right.
But you just said a second ago that you wanted to say something about the book.
The book is progress.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
In fact, yeah, well, I was trying it recently, And it wasn't like, I mean, I've been sort of dragging my feet on this part, and I wasn't sure why, and then I tried it, and it was just awful. And I finally was like, you know what? I'm blocked. I know what needs to happen narratively in this next part, mm-hmm. but I still have no idea what's going to happen mm-hmm. actually mm-hmm. in this part.
Right, right.
And just nothing. So it's driving me nuts. And I was like, I finally just admit, I'm like, I'm blocked. I should stop doing this. And then I saw a movie, which I will speak about later, which was terrible, but hilarious. But something about it, I think the intense acting within it snapped something in my head. Because I frequently, emotional cues are where I come up with an emotion, and then I build a character from that, and then I build a scene from that. And so that kind of got me. And so I'm unbroken. And I thought I was going to write this coming weekend, but I've actually already written some. And I got through a part that is way less important that I just wanted to get past, and I did. And I have a clearer and clearer image of the next part, so...
Good.
I'm pretty happy.
Very good.
That is going well. Also, last weekend, went to visit my in-laws. The producer's brother was visiting with his two kids for this week. And so we went up for that weekend so that we could spend some time with them. His wife could not make it, so it was just them. But it was a pretty good time. We had some fun with them. The kids are cute. The kids are now old enough that they remember us and aren't scared or nervous mm-hmm. or anything like mm-hmm. that pretty much right off the bat. So that's fun.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of time up there, but a little bit. That was cool. I've eaten Popeye's chicken for lunch for the last 3 days in a row.
Okay.
Today I promised myself I wasn't going to do it, and then I did it.
What, is it hard to resist or something?
It is.
Why?
Good stuff.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I wouldn't know.
Except the one thing I haven't tried, their fried chicken.
What? I thought you were just talking about their fried chicken.
I was talking about Popeye's chicken.
Yeah.
That's the place.
Oh, it's just called Popeye's chicken, yeah. So.
Maybe nowadays it's called Louisiana Kitchen.
So it'd be like, yeah. It'd be like saying I ate at McDonald's burgers every day, but I didn't have burgers.
Yeah. Or KFC.
Sure, I suppose.
Pastrami.
So what are you KFC eating? Well, Popeye's okay. chicken
some
that's not
of it
chicken.
Is chicken. But it's not the regular fried chicken. I ate the chicken tenders a lot. Chicken strips, basically.
Oh, okay.
That's a primary thing. And then they also have shrimp that I've had a few times.
Okay.
And then finally today I got to try just their fried fish.
Oh.
And it's terrible in a way that I really like.
I don't...
It's mushy inside, kind of like a fish stick, like a cheap fish
oh,
stick.
Oh.
But that's really tasty, and the breading on it is really good, so I like that. So I was very pleased today, yeah. And the big thing for me, well, there's a lot of things, but their biscuits, unbelievable. The best way I can describe it, but only some of you will understand, Popeye's biscuits are the southern, I guess, equivalent of Italian Fazoli's breadsticks.
Fazoli's breadsticks are pretty good.
They're ridiculous, partially because they've been soaked in butter overnight, and that's a factor with the Popeye's thing, too. But I would say Popeye's brings together the best parts of Hardee's biscuits and KFC's biscuits.
Which are both pretty good biscuits,
yes,
really.
Yes, but for very different reasons.
Yeah, yeah, I'll grant you on that.
But it's very soft on the inside, and not quite doughy, but close. But the outside has this sort of buttery shell to mm-hmm. it. And, mm-hmm. Oh, it's in there so good. So, yeah. So, I like Popeye's. And, yeah. No, Trish does every single day. Part of it was expected, part of it was surprised. Basically, we haven't had lunch together this week. So, I've been driving. And so, then I have an hour. I'm like, I'm going to go Popeye's.
Yeah.
And then I also saw two movies that I should speak of. I'm going to do them in reverse order. Last night, we saw Going in Style.
Oh.
The Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin are old. And then rob a bank movie.
Because they're going to go in style.
Exactly. Well, it turns out it's a remake.
Oh,
I
didn't know.
A 79 film with George Burns, Art Carney, and some guy I didn't remember the name of.
Oh, okay.
That being said, we looked into the plot of the original one after we saw this, and three old men decide to rob a bank is the sum total of similarities between the two plots.
I see.
At all, well, and they have the same first names.
Okay.
All three. Not all three in each move, but they correspond. Yeah, it's about three guys named Doug who decide to rob a bank. No.
And it gets very confusing.
Yes. And then Doug finds out that Doug's been... Yeah.
Then they recruit a fourth guy and insist that he be called Doug, even though his name's Bill.
I am Bill. No,
Doug. It's got to be Doug. You don't mind if we call you Doug just to keep things simple?
Which Doug? Bill Doug. Oh, okay. I feel like that was a thing in something where everybody had the same name, but it wasn't their first name.
No, oh, okay.
No, some situation where everybody got their name replaced with the same name, and then somebody made the distinction by referring. I feel like I did not just invent that.
Okay, okay. I don't remember.
I'm only saying this for liability purposes. Would you be curious to know how it was?
Sure, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Supremely inoffensive.
Okay.
Exactly what it says on the tin. You see the trailer, you expect this kind of movie to have these things, it has those things.
Okay.
Everybody does an okay job. Nobody does a poor job acting. There is an impressive cast that kind of surprises me because the movie's fairly lackluster, until I remember that it's presented as, do you want to be in this movie with Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman, and Alan Arkin? And you say yes at that point.
Sure.
You don't ask what kind of movie it is. It has Serafinowicz. I keep mixing up his first name. Paul Peter... He is a British actor that we've all been seeing a lot of recently.
Okay.
He's dating all of you, you just don't know it. No, I first noticed him, or I first remember him, in Shaun of the Dead. He was the roommate that was not Simon Pegg or Nick Frost.
Okay.
The angry one with an actual successful job. He was like the first zombie they saw, because he was in the shower and was a zombie. He also showed up in Guardians of the Galaxy as the head fighter pilot guy that sacrificed himself to save the planet at the end of that thing. Most recently, he was the sommelier in John Wick Chapter 2. I've seen him in something else recently. He's in a lot of things.
Okay.
He's very handsome. He's very British. And in this, he's very not British. He has an American accent. And it was disconcerting, but I think just because he is so damn British, because the accent was great. He did a great job.
Okay.
They also had... I've discovered this. I have this thing now. You remember how I can always tell when I'm listening to an animated voice or animation with voice in it if Cree Summer is the voice actor?
Yeah.
Like that power I have?
Yeah.
I apparently also have that power with regard to I can spot the woman from Men in Black who was married to Edgar. It's like he was wearing an Edgar suit.
Yeah, Edgar suit.
I can always spot her. She was Elaine's roommate on Seinfeld in the like one episode where Elaine had a roommate, and she was the waitress Mitzi in Going in Style.
Okay.
I can just spot her. Yeah, it's the movie's nothing. It's you've seen it before. There's some talented people here doing it. That's fun. I laughed. I was not bored. If you never see it, you're fine. If it's on cable and you're on a lazy Sunday afternoon, watch it. It's fun. They have one F-bomb because it's PG-13. They make major use of it. It's like so random, gratuitous. It's from a character that doesn't say anything else in the movie and is in the movie for like a minute. Like, that was just weird. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. I just found it very weird. Yeah. Then the other movie I saw, the movie that broke my writer's block, was 1971's Ken Russell directed The Devils.
Oh.
I've since learned a lot about this movie. This movie was one of those movies that the UK was freaked out about in the 70s and 80s. And they had to give things the scary rating, and they would ban certain movies and stuff. This was a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
They were freaked out about this one. Mm. And it got severely edited at one point. And for a long time, it looked like they had lost the unedited version.
Mm.
But it has revised itself. It's brought itself back recently. And there's several different edits, apparently. What I saw was the edited version, which normally would have annoyed me. I found out after the fact. But now I've read what's in the non-edited version, and I'm good.
Okay.
I'm fine. It's a movie based on a play, based on an Aldous Huxley novel, based on real life history.
Oh.
It is about a priest, a Catholic priest, by the name of Urbain Grenier, in France during the reign of Louis XIV, when Cardinal Richelieu was trying to get a hold of everybody, and we had just finished persecuting the shit out of all the Protestants.
Okay.
And this is a story of one town that managed to survive because it had these great walls, and so they kept the peace inside, and Catholic and Protestant got along good, and then Richelieu wants to come and take it over, and this priest won't do it. But here's the thing. That's not even really the main plot, because the main plot is that this priest is amazing. This priest is the most beautiful man in the world, and everybody wants to have sex with him, or at least all the women, all the time. Nuns.
Like a male version of Mary Sue?
Something. Yeah, totally. And he is, like, he's that guy. Like, in college, you find that, like, you know, sixth-year senior who smokes dope and just, like, talks philosophy all the time. He's that guy. And he's the jerk on top of it. Like, he gets a girl pregnant and is just like, dude, you gotta go deal with it. I'm a priest. We can't say it came from a priest. What the hell? But he says it really fancy-like. And yet, he's our hero. He's absolutely our hero for this, which is very confusing. Also, he's played by Oliver Reed. He's not unhandsome. It's very 70s-ish. But he's not bad-looking, per se. But I have trouble with this, like, he's so gorgeous. And people, like, literally, Vanessa Redgrave is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Her entire arc is that she is a sequestered, hunchback nun who saw him from a distance once and now keeps having these lurid sexual fantasies in which he plays Jesus. And it gets so crazy about it that she ends up in a plot to convince everybody that he drug her into witchcraft and evil fornication and partying with the devil and shit like this. Like, this is the whole point. Because she saw him at a distance. And he keeps getting confused when she's accusing himself. He's like, I have literally never met this woman. Which is true. But she's obsessed with him. That's how good. But here's the thing. For me, at best, if I was going to describe this guy, I'd be like, imagine there was a missing third, hotter Belushi brother. That's basically this guy.
Okay.
Like, that's as far as I'm willing to go on this. He's not bad looking, and he's hotter than either Jim or John Belushi. And Jim Belushi's not that bad looking, you know? I mean, big forehead, but whatever. But I'm not willing to go much further than that. So I had a little trouble with that. But it's all, you know, scathing critique of the Catholic Church. A lot of sort of political bits put in there. It's got that 70s vibe where they kind of want to make it known. Like it's like intentional anachronism, and it gives everything this sort of surreal quality to it. There's a witch hunter who shows up and does exorcisms and stuff, and he totally looks like a high school kid from a 70s school. Like, he's got the shaggy hair, clean cut face, and he's wearing smoked Lennons. Literally, he's wearing the little round glasses.
What?
Yeah, the whole time. I'm like, I feel like this guy was an extra in Dazed and Confused. Like, I totally have seen this guy. So that was very weird. But yeah, it was an interesting film. And it definitely had some, I mean, it was definitely an exploitation film. And the stuff I missed was very much the, like, a lot of it involved, well, you know, The Exorcist did this too. When you really want to get freaky and you're involving Catholicism, you start doing untoward things with holy objects and stuff like that. And apparently it's all kind of that. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need that.
That's what was cut out of it, you're saying?
Yeah. Because it's doubly offensive if it's smut and anti-religion. Mm-hmm. So you had to cut those scenes. So I'm fine to have missed those. But, interesting movie. And I should say, too, really well shot.
Mm.
Like, the effect that they got out of a standard, you know, Pinewood Studios set was amazing.
Mm.
Just from getting the angles right. Like, they could change the sense of space in a scene very well. Because eventually I was like, there's only like 3 or 4 sets mostly we're dealing with. But they keep filming it from different directions, so I feel like it's like a different place.
Mm.
It's pretty cool. So yeah. That's that then. Well, I feel like my week was more interesting than that. Maybe I should call a family member and ask. No. Alright, let's head it up.
Alright then. Star Wars Celebration started today. Right.
Yeah. Also, I should say,
I've been watching some of the interviews and that.
Bad Lip Reading finally did the Force Awakens episode. Have you seen it?
Yeah, Mark Hamill does.
Yeah, and they're getting better still. Like, that was great. Okay, before you do that question, we got to talk for a second, though. That's a weird way to phrase it. people watching.
Yeah.
There have been two videos since we last talked.
Oh.
The one with the English teacher and the one this morning about talking in movie theaters.
Yes.
How are we feeling?
I'm kind of not remembering the English teacher one very well.
It's just constantly trying to write your English teacher, but instead swearing a lot.
Stopping
for like 30 years.
Trying to say something like how important you were to my life or whatever. That was interesting. But I don't know. Like I said, you had to kind of remind me what it was about. The talking in the theater one seemed, I mean, I get it. I think there's things about the, I mean, it seems to me that it's not wholly unreasonable for people to not want people to talk in a movie theater. I mean, the way they described it, it was like this was kind of a old-fashioned idea or kind of a narrow idea of how people should behave in a particular place.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, no, there's, you know, this is how this art form, this is how people consume this particular art form. It's kind of how it is.
Also, why did you go to the theater if you wanted the experience of sitting on your couch?
Right, and besides that,
I'll be honest with you. My TV makes movies look better than the theater at this point.
So
my TV is good.
So I think that there are perfectly good arguments for wanting people to not make noise in a movie theater. But they also really trashed popular culture like it was this low form of entertainment, which that also made me think, why are you even going if that's how you go read Nietzsche and talk about that in a coffee shop somewhere? You can do that. Anyone can do that. You don't have to go and have your intelligence insulted by popular films if you don't want to. So it seemed a little weird.
The strip club scenes are so unrealistic.
it seemed kind of judgy, I guess, against people who actually want to watch a movie and who might actually enjoy modern popular cultural fair. But, you know, whatever.
In the interest of entertaining people, sometimes personalities in media have to become larger than life a bit. And a little, not necessarily different from themselves, if it's supposed to be a real situation. Just bigger, sort of.
Sure.
To that end, what I'm about to say may sound a little harsh, but please remember, it is for the podcast, so give it a little oomph. That being said, I am so over these guys. The last two, especially, it was getting there and getting it. We have hit the 100% hipsterism threshold.
Yeah.
This is just bitchy, you know, postmodern deconstruction, aren't I so smart thing. And there's what originally was a, oh my God, we all feel this way thing has now just turned into like a click. Because I'm sorry, we don't all feel the way some of this shit has happened.
Right, right.
And it's now just like, no, the cool people feel that way, I guess. Which, and you know, that's also pretty chic these days, is to come off as cool by talking about how uncool you are.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
how much you accept that. And yeah, so I'm not going to stop watching because I watch every video that appears on Cracked because I'm a sheeple. If you guys were wondering what a sheeple is, that's me. But I'm super over them at this point.
I think what they're doing is interesting still. But
it was, and the art's still good. The art's still gorgeous, I think. I really like the style in it. And honestly, the connective tissue between the videos is very interesting to me. The through line that these people all really exist in. I love the way they're sort of doing that. Because it's a lot of characters that don't actually know each other, but then keep interacting with each other. And I find that kind of like how my favorite thing about the show, Adam Ruins Everything, is the storyline, even though that's so not the point of the show. So I do kind of enjoy that. But yeah, the messages on a per video basis are starting to just annoy the shit out of me. And it's weird because it's really, I don't want to say in 100%, but if we graft it, my enjoyment of it and my relation to it, it's almost linear, just angling down, like in like a straight, like first one great, little less, little less, little less, little less, and now each time more or less, or less more. Yeah, it's not 100%, but that's, I feel like the balloon is somehow emptying itself, and they started with the best they had, and each time they're like, so I don't know how deep this barrel is.
Yeah, I don't know if they're doing well or if people are criticizing. I mean, I did
it
see
it could just be me.
No, I did see a comment after this last one that said, well, okay, you lost me on this one. I can't, you know. They started good. So kind of what you were saying, I saw a comment similar to that, just one.
The rest were all about how they were gay and how they wanted to have sex with various female characters on the screen, I assume?
No, several of them were saying, nope, you're never going to convince me that people should be okay talking in movie theaters. Although not giving any real good justification, but...
For the record, I am absolutely in favor of the concept of having one theater where you're allowed to talk and be on your phone, and one where you're not, because why not? Sure.
Well, don't they have, like in Des Moines, there's this place called, I forget what it's called, but it calls itself a dinner theater, but all it does is it shows movies while people are eating. So people are, are talking at their own table.
I've heard that there were places that were going to attempt it, but I want to say like they tried and it didn't go well, but I can't remember why.
Well,
just because people are like, you know, I can play with my iPad somewhere else.
Well, I think one of the reasons it worked for this venue, because they've been around for as long as I can remember, is because people are eating. I mean, serving
you can always get
meals.
Well, no, I would totally go to a place where I would eat food and watch a movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
That's what this place is. Billy Joe's Picture Show or something it's called, because, you know, they serve beer or whatever.
Mm. And because Billy Joe runs the place.
Billy Joe. I don't know.
Billy,
I think it's Joel's. Billy Joe. No, it's not Billy
Picture
Joel.
Show. But no, I'm saying that's going to be the title of the episode, right there.
But I've never been there, but they don't show like the newest movie that's out. You know, they'll show something that's probably, you know, these days it's been on video or whatever. But you can go watch it while you're eating dinner, and you can talk. I mean, nobody's going to stop you from talking.
Oh, wait, now you pointed it out to me. I already do that on my couch here. I also eat dinner while I watch TV. Yeah, I'm not going anyplace. Sorry, Billy Joel. Sorry. Bad news, Piano Man. I'm not going to your dinner theater.
Anyway, Coffee asks...
Sentences I never thought I'd say.
What makes you lose control of your own willpower? I'd rather talk about what makes me lose control of your willpower.
When the leash breaks. Pretty straightforward.
I don't know. My willpower. I don't know.
Let's see. Ice cream. Ribs. Cheese. Children with money that I look like I could take.
Okay, but you're not... some of the everything but the last thing that you just mentioned, you don't actually have the experience of, oh, I really shouldn't, but man, that looks so good and do it. I mean,
oh yeah, no, definitely.
You do?
Yep.
Huh. I'm trying to think of something.
Dude, Rome was not built in a day over here.
Yes.
You've got to go, like, but no. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not, what I'm saying is, for me to have never experienced that and look like this, I would have to be one of the dumbest people you've ever met.
Okay.
Like, there are some times where it's real obvious and you just got to turn into that skid and be like, you know, tomorrow's never coming, fuck everything.
I'm trying to think of something that I struggle with that it's not that I don't do things that I shouldn't do. Mm. I just don't feel bad about doing those things.
Yeah, that's a little bit for me too. Like, I've never had good willpower, self-discipline, things like this in any situation, and I've talked about it a lot, and I wouldn't say I'm happy about it. But it's a large part of who I am, and I work around that.
I think most of the time, for most of my life that I can remember, I mean, unless I was really little, you know, and I knew that there were forces that I didn't have any control over in terms of, you know, my emotions. Like, you know, I'd get angry, and knowing I shouldn't be angry, I didn't want to be angry, but I couldn't help it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's when I was quite young. When I reached a certain age, if I didn't want to do something, I didn't do it. And if I did want to do it, I did do it. There's not a lot of stuff in between where, oh, I really shouldn't do that, and I really resist it, and then I give in. About the only thing I can think of that relates to this kind of thing is, sometimes I can think of times where I want to do a certain thing or go a particular direction, but I don't do it. Because I'm depressed or something like depression.
Oh yeah, no, that's huge.
Depression can definitely overwhelm my ability to just do the thing that, you know, most of my brain does want to do and would ordinarily do, but I just can't summon the energy.
Yeah.
But I suppose the willpower to force myself to do it. And so, you know, on days when I'm struggling with depression, I get a lot less done, and sometimes I don't really get anything done.
I frequently reconcile that by saying, you know what, it's been a tough day, I should go easy on myself today, but that's like every other day.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Here's what I do instead of willpower. I, when it comes to wise or healthy decisions in my life, be it start doing this good thing or stop doing this bad thing, I treat all of them as though making the right choice would be the equivalent of giving up alcoholism. It's always a one day at a time, except that it's out of my control.
Yeah.
You know, in the serious 12-step method, seriously, that's the only way I ever make progress. I'm doing pretty good with the gym right now. Went to the gym 3 mornings last week. I did wuss out a couple, but I went 3. And then this week, I'm on target to do 4 if I go tomorrow. And it's really just didn't go today. That sucks. Got to do tomorrow.
Yeah, just don't even think about
that. You know? And it doesn't... It gets incremental things because I can do that for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the big one is I go to bed last now in the household. And I often want a little snack before I go to bed. And sometimes I don't because I'm not good. Sometimes I have an okay snack. Sometimes I eat a pint of ice cream and then a couple of tortillas after that. Because fuck everything, tomorrow's never coming. And the next day, I'm like, that was dumb. My stomach doesn't feel too good. Shouldn't do that anymore. And sometimes I'll just do it the next night. Well, usually not. We don't have 2 pints of ice cream, but, you know, that kind of thing. So sometimes, I'm not saying it's an effective tool. I'm saying I hobble by in life with this. It's, the only real exceptions are marriage and this podcast. I don't stick with anything else. I'm kind of amazed I'm still employed. I guess the book is working out, but it's a slow going. You've all experienced that. We're coming up on a year since I started.
Yeah, well, that's about right.
Not there for a draft I can even show to another person.
That's about right. Well, I think I've been very fortunate in my life to not really even have an interest in most things that would be bad for me.
Yeah, see, I tend to have a very curious, very obsessive, and very addictive personality. So that pretty much means I just go from life-threatening behavior to life-threatening behavior as time goes on.
But yeah, most of the time, I just do what I want to do, and I don't do what I don't want to do. But depression does change that. I mean, it almost transforms my whole personality into someone that I can't at all do the thing I want to do. And things do get introduced that I wouldn't normally want to do, but I want to do them now because it's something else to do to take my mind off the thing that I'm not getting done. So I might find myself giving in to temptations that wouldn't be temptations otherwise. Like maybe I will eat something when I'm not even particularly hungry, but I might as well do that to get my mind off of something else.
Yeah.
Or
I have recently discovered, well,
go down the Wikipedia rabbit hole or something instead of doing real work or whatever.
In the last few years, I have discovered, and this is part of why I tried to learn to knit, but I hated it. I have to do something with my hands, like when I'm watching TV or a movie or something. And it's almost always eating.
Because
I don't really have anything else to do. And that's a problem. I'm trying to work on that. They come less and less, but I have those times where I'm like, okay, this is serious. You have to do this thing, and you have to commit. You have to stick to it. When I really do it, and it needs to, like, usually something bad has to happen for me to decide to do this, I can go 6 months. It's always about 6 months.
Before you run out of gas?
Before the cracks start appearing, and there is no major consequence from that, so the cracks get bigger, and then by the time I notice the consequence, it's gone. So, like, when I got the diagnosis for diabetes, I finally started eating right. And I lost a bunch of weight, and I was feeling a lot better, about 6 months. And then I would cheat a little bit more, and nothing really happened. My weight was still kind of okay, so then a little bit more, and then fuck everything, tomorrow's never coming. When I started at the gym, it took a little bit, but I got to where I was going. And this is the thing. Winter is trouble for me now because it's really cold in the morning.
Mm.
I started the first time in October.
Mm.
And I would go every day. And this was, Trish was not involved. I was waking up early, going every day. I was lifting weights, all that stuff, about 6 months. And then I would miss one to sleep in, and nothing really happened. And I'd miss another one the next week.
See, for me, my experience...
Weight Watchers, same thing.
My experience, let's say I start something and it goes for 6 months. And I feel like, well, you know, I've been doing this for 6 months without any problem. I can cheat a little bit today.
Mm-hmm.
now you say there's no real consequence to that, so then it kind of increases. But the consequence to me is I'll feel bad about doing that. It won't even matter how minor the cheat is. I'll feel so bad about it that I just won't do it again. Not probably for another 6 months.
That usually won't happen for me. There was a time when I was trying to do the gym, and I was at that point where the cracks were way bigger than the not cracks. And I was like, this is serious. I have to do something about it. And what happened is I didn't go any more frequently, but I really beat up on myself for it and was pretty much in a shitty mood all day.
Yeah, that's a terrible strategy.
That it started pissing off my wife.
Yeah.
And so I finally sat down and was like, this can't work. You have to come to terms with it. And my answer was, okay, I'm just not going to worry about going anymore.
Well, I mean, that's... Yeah, I mean, that's...
And that has made all the difference.
That strategy of feeling crappy about it does not... It's not good. I mean, it might get me back on track, but there's got to be a better way.
Well, and that what I'm doing now is better because it's very gradual, but it's more consistent.
Yeah,
well, I hope
so.
I don't know that I've been trying this for 6 months yet.
Well, I mean, you know, there's... We live in a weird world, really, for the way human beings are kind of supposed to work. I mean, when you think about it...
Is this the whole thing where we don't squat to poop?
No. It's like, why should humans ever have lived in a world where you have to, like, actually think about going somewhere at scheduled times of the week to get exercise, right? I mean...
Because it was so cool, man.
It's just kind of bizarre. Mm. Like, I think if our bodies had minds separate from our own, I think they'd think that it was so weird the way we live our life, given our evolutionary history and all this stuff.
So at this point, are we... Is our mind in a jar?
I don't know.
Our brain in a jar? So, I don't know why, but recently I've been watching a lot of bloopers and outtakes from the show Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
Because they're just on YouTube. And those people had a lot of fun making
that show. Yeah. Yeah, they sure did.
But recently I was watching a video that was like a Paley Center panel discussion with the cast. And somebody asked about how much do you improv and how much that actually ends up in the show. And the answer basically was that we improv a ton. Very little of it ends up in the show.
I saw that particular video, yeah.
But they talked about, the head writer talked about how his favorite joke ever in the show, Chris Pratt. Pratt had improv.
Right, I remember
at
that.
At the time. And I had seen this in an earlier one where Amy Poehler's character is like sick or whatever, and so they're taking her out of the office to the hospital. On the way out, Chris Pratt's character is at the desk at the computer, and he's like, "Leslie, I typed all your symptoms into this thing, and it says you may have internet connectivity issues."
Yeah.
And I remember that's my favorite joke. Just immediately.
That's a good one.
I love that. And some of it also is Chris Pratt. They have whole videos just of Chris Pratt's outtakes. They are amazing because he just has the bright-eyed puppy vibe going. But that was, he improv'd that in the moment. And I was shocked because I was like, that seems like something you would have cracked. And the head writer was like, I was immediately just like so pissed off because it was so much better than anything I had written. I don't even know how I got to that, but it made me think of that. Mm. Something made me think of that.
Are you going to draw something? Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, we probably do.
Your mom's probably listening to this one, so we should make it.
I don't know if she will or not.
We should make it a good one.
She's 74 now. By tomorrow, she may have forgotten that happened. Jeebus, this is a long one.
Okay.
I cannot believe this has not been abridged. May take the rest of the episode for me to read.
Just to read it? Okay, well, that'll be good.
Do you bargain with yourself in situations in which you know you will need to change, but you continually postpone taking action? If so, identify one situation and your reasons for not wanting to act. Coffee.
That's kind of related to this one in a way.
It really is. I feel like she was in a vibe when she was writing these.
Negotiate.
I know the best example of this apparently is Ray Romano. He calls them mental bets. But he does things like when he, like you see it, there's a documentary about him, and you see it, he's playing golf, and he's like, okay, if you don't make this shot, you can't watch any TV tonight. And that, he hopes, will motivate him. Or like, okay, if you do 2 more hours of this thing, then you can do this, but otherwise you can't. That kind of thing.
A lot of people do that.
He's very sneaky about it, though, because in that particular one, he actually does that, but he cheats and goes, they're at a hotel, and he goes to, like, the producer's hotel room or whatever to watch TV. And he's like, see, it's okay. Now, the next time I make this bet, I'll say, and you also can't go there, but I didn't this time. This is very closely tied to the willpower thing, because I used to do a lot of these, and I failed them, like, all the time. And so I kind of just stopped.
I remember when I was a kid.
No, you don't.
And I was really desperate about something. Mm-hmm. Like finding something. Or, well, you know, let's say I lost something, but it wasn't my thing, you know, and I knew that someone was going to be really mad if I didn't find this thing or return to it. I did that thing where kids sometimes, you know, pray, God, if you just help me find this thing, I promise I'll never do such and such ever again. But I mean, since then, no, I don't really bargain with myself about things. I'm kind of intrigued by that notion, but like I say, I usually just either do something or don't do it.
I want to unpack this thing a little bit. Okay.
Although I will say, sometimes when I have a good day writing, you know, and it's like, I've got an hour before my wife gets home, but the whole day up to that has been really good. I might think to myself, I can sort of mess around as a little reward for this hour. I might do something like that, but I didn't really bargain with myself ahead of time. I just something I'll do after the fact.
There is more to this, though. Bargain yourself in situations where you know you will need to change, but you continually postpone taking action. So this is more specific
like procrastinating.
Well, potentially. Or need to change. So it's like, I should really quit smoking. And so, you know, you make a deal. Okay, I can smoke for the rest of this week. And then I have to stop. Or, you know, things like that. You make those kind of deals. And yeah, if so, identify one situation and your reasons for not wanting to act. Eating tasty food too much. My reasons for not wanting to act is food is tasty. More food is more tasty. I don't know. Again, to go back to the gym, because it's a recent thing, I really try and come up with excuses not to do it. And if I can manage to, like, miss, like, 2 days in a row or three or somewhere in there, I'll be like, clearly this week is a wash. I'll start again Monday.
Okay, maybe I do have something to talk about in relation to this. I don't want to call it social anxiety, because I don't really think when I hear people talk about that, I don't really relate to what they're talking about. But there are some times where there's a place I need to go, or where I've said I will be, and I don't feel like doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But I know I should, not just because I said I would, and I should, you know, keep my word, but because I probably do need to...
And you'll probably have fun.
To interact with people more, because I work from home and stuff.
Yeah.
So, in those circumstances, sometimes, yeah, I'll really... I won't bargain with myself. I'll just really have to...
Dude, if you go to this thing, you never have to see these people again.
No, it's just... I just kind of have to force myself to do it, Even though if someone called me and said it got called off, I'd be happy. I'd be like, oh, great, I don't have to do this. But I go do it, and I'm glad I did it, but sometimes I really have to push it, force it.
I was tweeting the other day about their social anxiety, and they're like, who else out there just gets really excited when their friends cancel plans for the night? And I was like, no, I get that one. Trish has to, like, drag me to stuff.
And almost always,
I'm like, I'm really glad we went.
Oh, yeah. Afterwards. And I love these people. I want to see them. It's just, it's all the things involved in, you know, getting ready to go and then going and then, I mean, I don't know. It's just, for some reason, well, this part of my life, it's really hard to get motivated to go places.
Things that I very clearly know what it'll look like if it doesn't go well, and I don't want to go do that.
Well, yeah, but it hardly ever, I mean, at least in my experience, it hardly ever goes poorly. Yeah, it's just,
it doesn't seem to happen that much because... All those bad times are when we were stupid teenagers. But I think for me, it's often just a laziness deal.
That's what I think, too. I think that's what it is for me.
Biggest ones for me are I totally would have bailed on seeing Pete Holmes, and that was amazing. And I totally would have bailed on that one-woman show that Megan Gogarty did a few weeks ago. And both of those were wonderful experiences that I think about frequently, and I'm really glad I did that.
Maybe it just comes back, just like the other question, it just comes back to depression. I mean, maybe it's just depression that's making me not motivated to do certain things or go certain places.
I could see that.
But, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that's probably
legitimately,
all it is.
Like, things are shitty. The last thing I want to do is pretend to smile at a party.
Oh, yeah, right.
That can be a real
thing.
Right. But if you give yourself permission for that to be a real thing... Suddenly more and more things qualify.
Yep, that's right.
And
that's
then,
all right.
You're living my life. So that's what it's like, people. Enjoy that. If you want to come and talk to me about it, don't do it, because I don't want to.
Oh, anyway.
So, if you'd like to be on the Magical Talking Hat, call my mom. Ask her how she got on. she must know somebody, I don't know. Right into the hat. That's the best way to get in.
Yeah.
TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Also, like us on Facebook, because eventually somebody's going to do that. Also, go to the blog, TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, and write comments that are directly related to what you at the moment are listening to in the episode, but provide no context in them, so we have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. When you just started with, yeah, that sounds right. Not that I'm talking about anyone in particular, Alan. But yeah, although to be fair, one of the best, Jazz used to do this all the time. I think we had to specifically tell Jazz, be like, you should tell us what part you're listening to.
Sometimes Bud Sparrow would too.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of. I don't remember.
But I mean, she'd post something and then post something. She'd have several posts. Oh, God,
yeah.
And you'd kind of have to remember, oh, she must be in.
Stu got into that for a while, too. He was, like, live tweeting on that blog. To be fair, though, that's dumb. But it's funny, and it's something going on. So please go ahead and do that. It's funny. I will make fun of you, but that's going to happen. So, you know, once you listen to the podcast, I'm like a curse. I'm going to make fun of you from now on, so. All right. Also, listen again next week, because, like I said, it's a curse, so you got no choice now.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.